Welcome to the How to Love Show with Dr. Mike. Dr. Michael McGee here, your host. It's good to be with you again. Glad you could tune in and join us. Today we have with us Sarah Griffith. And Sarah is joining us from 5:30 in the morning in Australia, I believe. Is that right, Sarah?
Well, I'm usually in Australia. I'm in Pakistan at the moment, but normally I'm in Australia.
For the miracles of technology that we're connected from other sides of the globe right now, how wonderful to have you. Say again?
It's amazing what we can do with technology these days.
It's incredible, yes. I understand that you come to us having battled low self-esteem in your younger years and suffered at the hands of an emotionally abusive husband, but you refused to let your trauma dictate your future, and you've gone through a remarkable healing journey and are now are really helping others to heal from trauma as well. Is that right?
That's exactly what I do, yes. So the work that I do, it is based on professional training. Obviously, I am qualified. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, and I've extensively studied psychology alongside that as well. So definitely the work that I do is based on my professional training, but my own personal experience, and it was my own personal experience was the catalyst for the work that I do now.
You know, how did you come about your own trauma before you learned all these techniques? Tell us your story.
So it's very, very interesting, and I think so many of us don't understand the extent to which our past affects our future. Because I speak to so many people who are almost apologetic for looking at how they are, not liking things about themselves or their behavior or the way they think or react to certain things. And then they're apologetic for blaming their past. So they'll talk through some of the things they do or think or say, and they'll say, is this possibly related to my past? You know, I feel bad trying to blame my past. But almost inevitably, we are all a product of our experiences, and those experiences seriously shape us. And as you say, my own story was that I was brought up, we were poor. So I was brought up, I'm 55 now, so in the late 60s, early 70s in Britain. There wasn't a lot of money around for most people, I don't think. But I was bullied at school for being poor, and it was quite extensive. And at the time, I had no idea how it was shaping and framing how I felt about myself, setting myself up to be self-loathing, really, to think that I wasn't good enough, that nobody could like me, that I couldn't be good enough. It just set up this pattern of really low self-esteem, no self-confidence, no belief, no faith in myself. And once you've got that pattern, especially at a very young age, where your neural pathways are being formed, which are the absolute basis of how you see yourself, how you see the world, what happens as a child. Once you set up a belief system about yourself, which as an adult you would question, as a child you don't have the ability to do that. And it becomes your reality. And you simply, from there, anything and everything that happens to you in your mind confirms your reality. So if you think that then my reality to me was that I wasn't good enough, so everything that seemed to happen then perpetuated that belief. And this is what so many people do. And it's how, as children, when we experience some kind of trauma like that, we then carry that pattern through into our adult lives, and the abusive friendships that we had as children that we didn't even realize were abusive, we just thought it was our fault, we carry those forward and we repeat them in our adult life. And that is exactly how I ended up in a narcissistic marriage. It was the way I was treated was familiar. It seemed to be what I deserved, what my value and my worth was. And really, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yes, yes. It's so powerful how that early unconscious programming, we're so also vulnerable to that. And then we end up acting that out in our lives. So what led you? It sounds like you may have had possibly an awakening experience of some sort, where you woke up to seeing this all, or what happened to you that you were able to get out of that?
Yeah, it was very extreme actually. And the very interesting thing is, it doesn't matter who I'm working with, everyone gets to this point where they have an awakening. They become aware that this isn't right, that there's some, or they've kind of always been aware but not able to do something about it because the programming is so strong. And for me, what happened, this was back in October 2010 now, so this is 10 years ago now, and I actually, like so many people do, I actually really, really hit rock bottom, and I nearly committed suicide. And this is obviously because of all of this, these child beliefs that I'd built up and being in this narcissistic marriage, because what it means is you lose any sense of yourself, but also you get talked out of, manipulated out of, persuaded out of all of your hopes and dreams, as it's because you don't believe that you're good enough. So everything that you want and believe and aspire in for yourself, someone else can easily manipulate you out of. And that's exactly what happened to me at that time. Well, happened many, many times. And I just got to the point where I couldn't see any point or purpose in my life. I was so desperately unhappy and I couldn't see a way out. And every time I thought my husband and I had a plan for myself, it would change. So I would be looking forward to something happening, thinking we were doing something, and then he would just go back on that as if it was nothing. And it kind of reinforced this belief that I was nothing. So I was very close. I very, very nearly committed suicide. And actually it was while I was in the process of doing that, because I had decided I was going to drive my car into a tree, believe it or not, that's what I decided I was going to do. And it really, at the split second, the last split second, something in my head told me that if I do this, my boys, I had 14-year-old twins at the time, will never recover. And it was just that split second in which I swerved the car away from the tree, and I sat there and I contemplated what I'd nearly done. I contemplated everything I was thinking and feeling about myself. And I just said to myself, I said, this stops. This stops now. You're not that person. You've never been that person. And somehow I'm going to work this out. I'm going to change everything. Work out why this is happening, because at the time I didn't know anything of what I know now. I didn't know why I thought and felt about myself in the way I did, why I seemed to be so unimportant, so irrelevant. But it was a vow, a promise to myself, for my boys as well, that I was somehow going to get to grips with this. And that's what I did.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, boy, isn't it amazing how those profound, profound, life-changing pain moments can sort of change everything for us and lead to a new pathway. And that's what happened for you.
It was, yeah, absolutely. It was an absolute game-changer, life-changer. I mean, it wasn't easy. It wasn't that from that moment I was a completely different person, because I didn't know enough. You know, I didn't know anything of what I know now. But I was different in that I had the understanding that this wasn't right, that I wasn't that person, and I had the determination that somehow I was going to change this for myself. And this is what's important, because so many people, they think that they want to bring about change, and they get really scared, and it is scary, that's understandable. And what they get scared about, they'll say, I want to change, but I don't know how. I don't know who's going to help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know. And it's the not knowing that keeps people stuck. And I think what I want to say to people is, I didn't know anything either. And the not knowing doesn't matter. Because these days, anything you don't know, you can find out. You can find out. But it's that first decision, it's that determination that this is going to change. This is not going to be my life. This is not who I'm going to be. Somehow, some way, I'm going to sort that out. And that's all you need. And once you've got that, and it's your focus, and it's your anchor, and it's your determination, then everything else you need is available to you in one way or another. And that's important.
Tell us a little bit about your journey of discovering a transformation. After you made that decision, what was the process that you went through to get to where you are now?
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I'm not going to mess about and say it was easy. It was long and hard. It really was, but I wouldn't change it for anything, because I don't recognize the person I am today and the life that I have, as compared to where I was. So, a couple of things, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend this, but because I was so determined to take hold and take control, I actually, from where I was, I went straight to our local shopping centre, who I knew were having an extension, and I inquired about taking out a lease on a premise to open a cafe, which is what I wanted to do. I'd had so many of my hopes and dreams just squashed that I was determined that wasn't happening any longer. So I went straight to the shopping centre, and within 6 months, I'd opened a big cafe restaurant at our local shopping centre. So that was a huge step in me taking control. And the reason I say I don't necessarily recommend it is, I mean, it was very, very difficult, because obviously what I had undiagnosed complex post-traumatic stress. So then I'm trying to run a new business and everything with this undiagnosed complex post-traumatic stress, which I did. I mean, I got through, and probably for me it was the right thing. I did need to take that determined action. Probably not the best thing for everyone. So then that really started me on a road of personal and professional development. I started to see a couple of therapists to help me through things. I read a lot of self-help books. And I really, this is the important thing, you know, knowledge isn't power. And what happens for me, I speak to a lot of people who kind of say to me, oh, I've read all these books, I've done all these courses, but nothing is changing. And what changes is the application. You can't just read stuff. You can't just learn stuff. You have to apply it. And this is where it really, really helps when you work with someone. Because these days, the amount of information that is available to people, it's overwhelming. And people don't know where to start. What information do I need, and what do I need to do with that information? And everything is very different 10 years ago, you know, when I started. So I started in exactly the way I just said. I started reading some books, which really taught me a lot. I guess the business idea was good, because it gave me professional development as well, which was really, really helpful. But those first few years were really hard because I still had all of those insecurities, that lack of self-belief. And it was really just working through all of that stuff, gaining knowledge, applying it, working with the right people. It really was that absolute focus on changing myself. And that's important too, because so often we look at changing other people. And the only person we can change in life is ourselves. And the only person we should change for is ourselves. And I think that's why this was so successful for me, because I was doing this for myself. It was about myself. Obviously, other people have hugely benefited. But yeah, I think it was just that typical journey of discovering information, working with people, applying information, and noticing the changes in myself. And really working on those changes, developing and building on what I was creating for myself.
Yeah. You know, this is such a wonderful story. I want to point out several things for our listeners there. First, I want to point out that there, you had a very powerful willingness. You said, enough, I'm changing my life. And I want to also point out that for our listeners that you put in a lot of work and effort. And I think that's really important. And also that you sought out help. You didn't you read some self-help literature, but you also sought out some good people who I'm sure coached you and helped heal you through this process. Is that not true, that there were people who really were there to sort of help you in this healing process?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've worked with all sorts of people. And I think this is where people really do fall down in trying to do it by themselves. As I say, number one, you can't really see your situation when you're in it. You need people outside to help you, because they can really see what's going on. And also, we all have egos. And a lot of this was about me. You see, we find ourselves in situations and we blame other people. And the most important and helpful thing we can do is to stop blaming other people and to look at our role, to look at ourselves and say, how am I showing up in this? What am I doing? How am I creating this? How am I allowing this? So I shifted from blaming my husband, who absolutely was at fault, hugely at fault. But if you constantly blame someone else, then you put yourself as a victim and you have no power to do anything. But when you take that back and you say, how am I showing up? What am I doing in this? That is a game changer. And that's what other people will help you to do. Because when you're just trying to do it by yourself, it's very, very hard. Your ego doesn't allow you to look at yourself and to take some of the blame onto yourself. But it's such a powerful thing to do. Working with other people who can guide you through that is incredible.
You know, Sarah, you are such a gem of wisdom for us. It's really true that I'm sure that these other people probably not only helped you to sort of see yourself clearly and take your accountability for your life and your behavior, which was very self-empowering for you to do, but I'm sure they probably also believed in you and were able to sort of lend you their view of your innate goodness in a way that maybe you possibly had, you know, that they helped you to sort of discover that about yourself.
Oh, and that is so important as well, because you have to remember that when you are caught up in self-loathing and you have very low self-esteem and low self-confidence, we have to take into account the subconscious patterning as well. The subconscious beliefs that are there. You have beliefs that you don't deserve, that you're not worthy, that you're not good enough, that no one is going to like you, no one is going to want you. And to have someone outside of yourself point out to you how ridiculous that is and how totally untrue. It's a very powerful phrase that I use with all of my clients now, and it doesn't matter what they come to me with. I tell all of them that actually what is wrong with them, the only thing wrong with them is how someone else has made them think about themselves. The only thing wrong with you is what someone else has made you believe about yourself.
That is so powerful.
Oh, yes. Oh, for so many of them, it is such, it's so amazing to be directed in that one way. You know, they'll come to me with a whole list of things that is just creating chaos and confusion for them. And when I just point them in that direction and say to them, this is all that's wrong with you, and then they're able to start to look at everything that's happening, everything that they believe about themselves, and literally go back to that one thing and realize that it's all a projection from everyone else around them. Yeah, it's very, very powerful. Working with other people is, as you say, it's incredible for helping you to focus on your own goodness, your own worth, what you deserve, and for showing you the direction to go in to bring all of that to the surface. Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, boy, so powerful. You know, I think after we're going to take a little break here, Sarah, but after we get from the break, you clearly have gone through a really profound both intellectual and emotional transformation in terms of the work that you've done, and have a lot of wisdom to share. We're going to take a little bit of a break here, but after that, I'd love to talk to you more about the methods that you have developed and are now using with others to help them go through what you've gone through. So we'll take a little bit of a break here. You listen to the How to Love Show with Dr. Mike with our guest Sarah Griffiths, and we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the How to Love Show with Dr. Mike. Dr. Michael McGee here, your host, with our guest who's talking to us from Pakistan, Sarah Griffiths. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you.
We've been talking about really the healing and transformative journey that you've taken in the past 10 years, and your courage and your hard work and your reaching out and asking for the guidance and help of others and the lessons you've learned. But there's also been a transformation in you. I can sense it in you, Sarah, of a transformation of just the felt sense that you have of yourself as being an essentially good, worthy person. And that's that emotional transformation. How did you get there? And how do you help people now to experience that kind of emotional transformation in the work you do with them?
Yeah, and I love the way that you phrased that. And it is a total change, an emotional transformation, and obviously it comes from a total change in everything that I believe about myself. And there is an important word in this, and the word is work. You know, we talk about doing the work on ourselves. And there's a reason that we use that word. It is hard work. It really is. You really do put yourself through the wringer with some of this stuff. It's examining so much of who you have been, what you have allowed, and how you have allowed the opinions, the thoughts, and the needs of others to literally shape you. And in most cases, not in my case as well, not just to shape me, but to take so much away from me. And this is the thing, we allow other people to steal so much from us of who we genuinely are. We allow people to stop us from being ourselves, from expressing ourselves, from doing what's right from us, from being who we really, really are at essence. And yeah, I've gone through a total transformation of recognizing that, not allowing that, and just absolutely believing in my right to be who I am. Because as you say, I recognize that at heart I am essentially a good person. I care about people, I care about the world, I care about animals, and now that I have the freedom to be myself, I just love life. And from that, this is where we talk about the flow of abundance, because when you can just be in the flow of being yourself and you are honest and open and totally congruent and you become reliable and consistent, it really draws people to you. But what comes from you, you kind of give out this energy, this essence is the only way I can describe it, that people can really, really relate to. And it becomes, it's the overflow of abundance, the abundance that I've created within myself, of my belief in myself. And it just affects other people around me when I am my true self, the person that I've always been, but that I've learned to express. And I just don't allow people to take away from that.
Yeah, so assertiveness has been a very powerful component of your healing, as you've rooted in your profound and deep belief and trust in yourself that allows you to do that. How do you help your clients to undergo this kind of emotional transformation, this awakening to their goodness and tapping into the flow of goodness through them into their lives? I understand you do some hypnosis work, is that right?
Yeah, I do, and I use hypnosis because for me, I've gone a long way in my journey, but I knew that there were still blocks and barriers, and I was still allowing things in my life that didn't serve me, and I was really struggling to overcome what I kind of saw as the final hurdles. And I was looking for a solution, and I found hypnotherapy. And to me, I found it was a particular person who I actually ended up training with, and that was Marissa Peer. She's one of the top therapists in the world. And I followed her for some time because it had taken so long with traditional therapy and psychotherapy and psychology to get me even to where I was. I couldn't understand the claims she was making about the speed of which hypnotherapy changes your thought process. So I followed her for a while, and I realized that I believed in what she was doing and what she was saying. And beyond that, I realized that I wanted to learn to do what she did so that I could help other people. And honestly, when I did my training with her over about 8 months online, and then I went on a 2-week course, actually face-to-face learning with her, and it is the most profound and significant thing I've done in my whole life. Learning about the power of the subconscious, these thought processes that get put in place when we're children, and how the subconscious mind is actually running our lives, and we're trying to do all this work in the conscious mind, which is why it takes so long, and how when we can use hypnotherapy, which is just deep relaxation. If I use the word meditation, no one would bat an eyelid, and that's all it is. It's deep relaxation that allows someone to just access their thoughts and how they see themselves, and to tap into what they created as children, the beliefs that they created. We can tap into those, and as adults, they can logically then literally reparent themselves and tell themselves that the thoughts that they created as children, they were wrong. They can see how they created them, why they created them, but also that they don't apply now. And they can instantly, there and then, replace it with a new thought process that takes over. It's the most incredible, profound healing tool that I have found. And that is what I use with my clients. And that is why they get such incredible results so fast.
Very, very powerful. Can you describe for our audience, Sarah, a little bit more about that that hit you. You mentioned meditation, hypnotherapy, accessing what might be pre-verbal beliefs or understanding. How does that work?
So it doesn't matter what the beliefs are. I mean, they're the beliefs that are created because they're stored in the subconscious. You know, all of these neural pathways that run our adult lives are created and stored in the subconscious. And when we put someone into a deeply relaxed state, they can access them and understand what's there. Sometimes we find our healing so hard because we don't actually know what we need to heal from. And what we can do with the hypnosis, we can uncover exactly what it is that is running someone's life, so then they know what they need to heal from. It's the most incredible thing I've discovered. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, I really appreciate your mentioning this for our audience. Well, let's take another break, and then we'll come back to talk more about this process of transformation. You're listening to the How to Love Show with Dr. Mike and our guest, Sarah Griffiths. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the How to Love Show with Dr. Mike and our guest, Sarah Griffiths. Sarah, you've been telling us about the powerful transformations that can come from a hypnotic process, which you described as sort of a deep relaxation. You know, I'm thinking about in my own meditative tradition, meditation practice, and the meditation techniques that I use with my patients, that it's really achieving a sort of a place of profound stillness in which deeper sort of what I would call pre-verbal understandings just sort of spontaneously emerge. And I'm wondering if that's what, if there's something in that hypnosis process that triggers sort of a mental stillness where you can sort of wipe away the veil of conceptions and cognitions and thoughts to sort of see what's behind them, possibly.
Well, and that's a very good description of it, yes, because what actually happens is you put someone into a deeply relaxed state, and I can assure people you're always awake, you're always in control, you know exactly what's happening. It's just that you're guided by me, based on our pre-discussions about what you want to achieve. So I just guide you to with questions to help you answer why you think and feel as you do. And what happens is because you have to remember that every thought, every experience is stored in the subconscious like a huge vault. So people can go back to scenes from when they were babies, when they were toddlers, when they were even in the womb. You know, we get womb experiences, and they can start to understand how these conceptions of themselves were formed. You know, I have people who have extreme anxiety, and they can't explain it. They'll just say to me, "I have a fear almost of everything. Everything seems to scare me." And then they'll go back to feeling terrified in the womb because they were aware of violence or anger or of not being wanted, all of those kind of things. And the reason they haven't been able to heal from them is they didn't know what it was they had to heal from. So there's all sorts of things that hypnotherapy allows people to access, the things that are within us, the concepts, the beliefs, the ideas that we don't even know are there. And with hypnotherapy, we can unlock them, and with that, we can change our understanding in a very, very profound and life-changing way.
Yes, it's very profound when you have those sort of realizations of these sort of pre-verbal understandings that aren't even thoughts in a way. They're just sort of a felt sense of things. To see that and see how they no longer apply is profoundly, profoundly liberating, the awareness of that. How would you help our listeners, Sarah, with helping access these kinds of practices and tools? How do we help, you know, literally thousands and thousands of people who are wounded and suffering to access these kinds of techniques?
I know. It is the amount of people that actually need to access this kind of work. I mean, it's millions, obviously, that people are, so many people are hurting so unnecessarily for so long. Now, luckily with me, obviously the work that I do is very specific. I have a particular process that I've learned works. But I work all over the world. So my sessions are all online. I use Zoom. And because they're online, it means I can reach people all over the world. So it doesn't matter where they are or where I am. If they have internet and I have internet, I can do this work with them, luckily. But I, one of the things I'm really working on next year, I would really like to be a voice that speaks out, because I think that, like most holistic practitioners, our mental health medical practice at the moment is woefully inadequate. And for me, I get very distressed. I get very incensed at the people that are in therapy for. Like, people will come to me who've been in therapy for 40 years and really haven't got very far. And it's because our mental health system seems to be set up almost to keep people stuck. It's about medicating rather than mending. And from the work that I do, what I believe is everyone should be able to go to the doctor with a mental health or emotional issue. And in most cases, the doctor should say to them, I understand you feel like that today, but if you go and see this person in a few weeks, you won't know yourself. Everything will be totally changed. And that's what we should have, because we have the understanding. We know about the subconscious mind. We know about neural pathways. We know how these things affect people. And yet there is so little focus on this kind of healing, which is available and which can transform people's lives in a matter of weeks, not months, not years. And people don't have access to it, and they're not told about it. And in most cases, people I work with have complex post-traumatic stress, and they've been told for years by doctors that you can't recover, you just have to learn to manage it. It's completely wrong. You know, I used to have severe complex post-traumatic stress, but no one that I ever talked to these days would even believe it, I think, if I told them. Because I'm so not that person anymore. And that's not just me. There are millions of people like me who've done this work, done healing, and the focus and the attitude is so wrong. And it really distresses me, because it's people are spending their lives stuck when they just don't need to. We really need big changes in our approach to mental health. That's my rant, sorry. That's my soapbox.
You know, you're so right, and there are a lot of trauma experts in the world, like Bethel van der Kolk and others who are advancing the field of
yeah.
trauma work and healing from trauma. But if you look at, for example, Bethel van der Kolk has written a book called The Body Keeps the Score, which is probably
yes.
one of the best and most comprehensive books on trauma. But he has very little in there about hypnosis, actually, and I think that you're adding an important piece, an important voice to this discussion of the use of these hypnotic, meditative, contemplative kind of techniques for, and really appreciate that. You know, Sarah, I wish we had more time together, but could you tell our audience a little bit about how they can learn more about you and contact you if they want to?
Yeah, sure. So the best way is my website, probably. I have a comprehensive website. So that's just sallyg.com. So that's the name Sally with the initial G, Sally G.
Now, is Sally, is that your nickname, Sally, or?
Sally is, yeah, it's my dad's nickname for me. So,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's my nickname. Yeah, Sally G.
Sallyg.com.
Sally G. Yeah, because
okay.
So, if they go to my website, they'll find out information about me, about my methodology, and everything is there. And there's some free resources on there that people can download. And the most important thing they can do, for me it's very important that the people I work with, I really have a connection with. So I work with people that I know I can get a result for. So before I work with anyone, they have a free consultation with me, which is really about them finding out more about what I do. And it's just making sure that we're going to get the result if we work together. So there's a function on the website as well where they can book in for that free consultation if that's what they would like to do. So a lot of important stuff on my website.
Oh, that's wonderful. So listeners can go to sallyg.com to learn more about Sarah Griffiths and your work. Sarah, thank you for being on the show and for sharing your wisdom and your inspiration with our listeners. And want to wish you well in your healing work, and may you someday perhaps be a voice in spreading this kind of transformative work around the world.
Yeah, I hope so. That would be amazing. Yeah, that's becoming my absolute passion. When I see the injustice that is done to people who just don't get the help and support that they need, you know, yeah.
Well, all the best to you. If anybody can do it, I know that you can.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and stay in touch and take care. You're
thank
listening
you.
To the How to Love Show with Dr. Mike here with our guest Sarah Griffiths. Stay tuned. I'll be right back to conclude the show after this break.
This is exciting, so listen up. Now you can sign up for Dr. McGee's live online seminar support group so you can learn how to love. You'll share your challenges about loving with others and get the guidance and support you need to heal your love wounds at the same time. Join Dr. McGee and others in healing and learning to love skillfully. Now you can get professional support for only $25 to help you realize the fulfillment of loving and being loved. How great is that? Call 805-459-8232 to learn more.
101 Things to Know If You Are Addicted to Painkillers is a new book by Dr. Michael McGee. In this book, Dr. McGee, an addiction psychiatrist, offers helpful information that leads you through all phases of recovery. 101 Things to Know If You Are Addicted to Painkillers helps you know that you can heal and be addiction-free. Get 101 Things to Know If You Are Addicted to Painkillers at Amazon.com.
Get ready to be addiction-free. This number one best-selling, multi-award-winning guide is what you've been waiting for. With his book, The Joy of Recovery, the Harvard-trained Dr. Michael McGee has helped hundreds of patients to full recovery. Imagine transforming your life with The Joy of Recovery's unique 12-step program. Take the first steps to overcome your obstacles now by getting The Joy of Recovery available at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Learn more at thejoyofrecovery.com.
Love is limitless, and Dr. Mike McGee, an experienced love coach, can help you to tap into this limitless source of love even if you feel unloving or unlovable. If love has left you wounded, neglected, traumatized, then you can go to howtolove.com and join Dr. McGee's community to help heal your love wound. Or you can call Dr. Mike McGee and he can personally help you using a wonderful awakening approach to become someone who can give and receive love. Call now at 805-459-8232.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Eclectic talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Back to the How to Love Show with Dr. Mike. Dr. Michael McGee, your host, and just wanted to reflect that when you're hearing this, it will have been after the election, which has been such a contentious and painful time for all of us. And I've been reflecting on love and politics a little bit. I myself have more of a nature has endowed me with maybe perhaps more of a liberal brain, And so, at times I have found it a challenge for myself to sort of understand more conservative viewpoints. And I'm just so distressed by seeing all of the fear and the animosity and aversion in a very much of a divided country right now. And really the way that people really devalue each other who don't believe as they do. I was reading an article in Scientific American Mind and Brain about liberal and conservative brains, and reading about how liberal brains have maybe a little bit of a different part of the brain called the anterior cingulate, and more sensitive to nuance and maybe complexity, and sort of not quite seeing things in maybe a black and white way, and maybe being more open to novelty and perhaps seeing things in different sort of ways, which is all good. But then the conservative brain maybe having a little bit of a larger amygdala perhaps, and being more concerned with stability and structure and continuity, and also more valuing of authority. And it just occurs to me that nature has created these liberal and conservative brains, probably for very good reasons. As a species, we probably have improved our adaptation and survival by having these different kinds of brains that sort of see the world differently and that have different values. I doubt that if there were a world where everybody was more progressive and liberal as I am, that would be, if everybody was that way, then I question whether that would be, better. That maybe there is a need for this dynamic tension that we have. And the other thought that occurred to me is that really none of us chooses our brains or the way that our brains work or the kind of beliefs and understandings and drives and impulses and concerns that predominate in the way that our brains think. None of us chooses that. None of us chooses that. Maybe that can be modified, but really we need to have sort of compassion for everybody, for the way that their brains work and the way that they think, because it's really not anything that any of us chooses. And the other thought that I had is that really there's such a need for us to move beyond our aversion, which is fear-based, and the kind of judgmental condemnation that we have of what we may see as unskillful behavior. And what's really interesting is that the distress right now in the United States over the election and political situation is pretty much universal. It's equal on both sides. So there's hurt and there's fear and there's condemnation and there's devaluing and there's judgment going around on all sides. Republicans, Democrats, everybody is engaging in these kinds of what I think are unloving processes. And I myself have been vulnerable to them, and noting that these arise, and noting the fear underneath, and noting that there's just this vulnerability we have to doing this with each other. So I'm really wishing for our country, as we learn how to love, that we really learn how to love those who see the world differently than us. And maybe even learn how to love those who we see as maybe causing harm to us and to others in their ways. And that we learn how to see each other with compassion and with deeper understanding. And not easier said than done. We all have to work with this. But I think with some willingness to try and seek to understand each other, and willingness to sort of drop our judgments and maybe see what is unskillful or unhelpful and really find ways to bridge our commonality. I think everybody wants to be happy and everybody wants to feel good and not feel bad. We just have different ideas about how to go about being safe and secure and happy. And so we really need to sort of understand and validate and really appreciate that people are where they are. And that's not something that we should be condemning for the way people's brains work or for the way people see things. It really is something that if we can create bridges of understanding, yeah, we don't have to agree. We don't have to. We can see maybe and have understandings that maybe other people's ways of seeing things are unskillful or destructive. But can we do that with a tapping into a reverence and a humility that we're all kind of in this together, just as everybody really ultimately the same and springing from the same, if you will, the same ground of being. So I really hope and pray that we can all learn to love each other, including those who don't agree with us politically, and that there can be a healing in our nation. You're listening to the How to Love Show with Dr. Mike here. Dr. Michael McGee, you can learn more about me and my work at howtolove.com. Really appreciate you being with us today and wishing you a good week of love and hope to have you back with us next week. Take care. Bye-bye.